All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. And you know what? I never adjusted to the fact you need to dial 812.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But we all know that, right?
She'll yell at you. That woman will yell at you if you do
812. It's so much easier to say 333-2665.
It's inferred.
You know the rest of it.
It's inferred.
We are the unofficial pregame show for Indiana basketball tonight as IU tips off at the Assembly Hall at 8:30 against Nebraska. And we'll call it their one I hesitate to say this, but a somewhat breather game here in the last four as they have Purdue on home on the weekend. I know. They got to go to Illinois. That's never easy. They got to go to Iowa. That's very tough. And they got Maryland at home. So this is the one you absolutely have to win. And, of course, if you have Big Ten aspirations, you have to win pretty much all of them. But got to win the first one before you can win the next four after that, and the Hoosiers have to do that. They won in Nebraska earlier this year on the road, one of those ugly games when they were dealing without James Blackman for some of the first times, 79-69, really out-toughed Nebraska, which is something nobody thought we'd say about the Hoosiers at that point in time. We'll see if they can do it again. And, Glass, it seems like the last 2 years it is about this stage of the season where the Hoosiers have had one of those hiccup games. We saw that hiccup game at Penn State, but we've seen a couple of them out of this team, and unfortunately a couple of them have been at home against teams that they simply are better than and should not lose to. And so this also sets up, I hate to say a trap game, but this sets up as that game where if you're going to revert to some past form, this would be the game to tell you that's the way it's happening. So that's the big question for the Hoosiers tonight. Are they taking Nebraska seriously? And if so, is that Big Ten run really in this team?
I think they need to take themselves seriously. I'm not sure how much Nebraska will factor into all of this because the performance in the second half against Michigan State just wasn't very good, and I don't know how else you can cut it, slice it, or dice it, or dissect it to say, hey, that's acceptable, or that's going to help us hang a banner for a Big Ten championship here. It's not. Letting a team shoot 63%, letting a team essentially do layup lines and take wide-open three-point shots. I don't care if it's over-help, under-help, no-help, no-anything, not getting back in transition, not rebounding. There are so many boxes, Dave, to check off in that second half for improvement that I think tonight comes down to Indiana. It doesn't come down to Nebraska. Well, Nebraska is the opponent, so yes, I understand that. That is part of it. But when Indiana is successful and when they've been successful at home, they have done some things well. And number one is score the basketball at will and make teams get out of their comfort zone and chase them and find multiple guys offensively to do so. It's not a one-man show. It's never a one-man show. If you look at any of the games that happened last night, just for a silly point of reference, the old transitive property, three games last night in the Big Ten, all three home teams won, and I think all three teams put at least four guys in double figures. Mm-hmm. The formula isn't difficult.
Very, very balanced.
You don't see a one-man show that wins basketball games. And even Indiana against Michigan State didn't have that 28-point performance out of Yogi and get beat by 20.
It was balanced in both those games last week.
But the defense was completely unbalanced. So
yes,
the Indiana balance tonight will have to be, again, multiple scoring threats, and it will have to be multiple ends of the floor. It can't just be all offense unless it's one of those Michigan-Ohio State-type performances where it's just so far off the hook where they bury six out of 7 3-pointers in a five-minute stretch, and the game's 24 points and explodes. Yeah, that's fine. That can't be relied upon. And Yogi hasn't shot it very well. Indiana hasn't shot it very well at home in the last couple of games. They shot it decently against Iowa. Was that 41%?
Yeah, it wasn't
that's
great.
They had a couple
streaks, but it wasn't great overall.
That's some of the things that have to work tonight. The good news is Indiana does have a proficiency of scoring the basketball, and the more they score, the harder they are to beat. Indiana's not losing games, Dave, 88-85. They're not getting beat 90-82. That's not how it's happened. Mm-hmm. They're getting beat, what, 68-63.
When they get held down.
They're getting beat 88-60, whatever that game was.
88-69.
Yeah, and the last about 8 minutes of that game was 20 points, and
right,
it's gone anyhow. So tonight, the effort is always the first thing you look for. Why? Effort leads to rebounding. Effort leads to deflections. Effort get to loose balls. Effort means they're not getting offensive rebounds. Effort means you are getting offensive rebounds. And you saw parts of that early in the Michigan State game to get that 33-23 lead. That was good. But you've got to do it, again, at all times and at home. And I think your point's excellent. It's the habits that have come out of the 3-3 streak. You've seen some unbelievable, and you've seen some stuff that makes you scratch your head. Is a consistent performance on the cards for these guys? I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But what I know is Nebraska's 6-7. They're a lot better than they were the first game we played them. And we'll get into that game because the Hoosiers did some good things in that game and did some bad things in that game. But Nebraska is going to be a dangerous opponent tonight because of the simple fact they got one guy that can really put up some serious point totals, and everybody else kind of does their work. And there is no Siobhan Shields, Nebraska's best player, allegedly.
Right.
He did not make the trip. So when you look at what's going to go on there, Nebraska isn't going to throw it to Shields and stand around and watch. They're averaging over 70 points a game this year, the most in a long time, because they move the basketball. They don't stand around, and they're active. I watched Tim Miles' press conference from the other day before they left for Indiana. He gave you some clues on what he thinks they need to do to be successful. But I think, again, it's not going to matter if Indiana plays with that home intensity, that home ball movement, that home whatever you want to call it, where they get on the floor, they get on the glass, and do all the right things from 1 to 9. Indiana is very difficult to beat. That's why they're 14-0 at home. Got to figure out at some point, Dave, because the Big Ten tournament's not in Bloomington and the NCAA first and second round's not in Bloomington. Yep. They have to figure out what they saw on film that wasn't any good, and what's got to be good tonight is a lot of things, just not one or two.
And let's keep in mind, this is fresh in Hoosiers' minds, the loss at Michigan State, 88-69. Well, Nebraska won at Michigan State earlier
that
this year.
That doesn't get your attention. I don't know what's going to
exactly
get your attention.
Exactly right. So are they the best in the Big Ten? No, but they are perfectly capable of coming in here. They did it a couple years ago. Should be on high alert.
And if you want to throw one more transitive property in there, they killed Penn State in Lincoln on Saturday.
We got to take a quick break. We'll talk about the last time these two teams played out in Lincoln in just a couple minutes. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, Friday night we've got high school basketball back on the air for you as South celebrates senior night and is looking for a outright
they're going to need some help.
Outright conference title, Conference Indiana, is on the line. They need to win one way or another.
They need to win if they want any piece of anything, but if they get some help from Franklin Central beating Southport and they do their business against Perry Meridian, our game for you on Friday night, Dave, that is a possibility. Outright, or it's a share, just like everything is. Obviously, there's no high school playoff or anything like that. Everybody gets a piece of the trophy. Same in the Big Ten. If there's five teams that tie, just like 2002, everybody gets a slice of the pie. And the reason tiebreakers would be used in the Big Ten is only for the seeding.
The seeding in the tournament.
In the Big Ten tournament.
But
that's
Friday night, Perry Meridian comes to town for South's senior night, and it is Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, tip-off, 7:30.
10 in a row for the Panthers, Dave, so it's no surprise JR's bunch is figuring out when it counts the
good
most
timing.
And get hot at the end of the year and keep it rolling.
Good timing. So we'll have that Friday night for you. 333-2665 is our phone number. Hoosiers tip off at 8:30 against Nebraska. In the second half of the show, we'll preview Purdue, who comes to town on Saturday night. So a nice evening bucket game on the hardwood.
65 degrees on Saturday
it's
afternoon.
Be a fun day to beat the Boilermakers. But first, we got to beat the Cornhuskers tonight at Assembly Hall. Again, 8:30 on BTN. First time around, Siobhan Shields was on the floor. He will not be tonight. First time around. It was an ugly game in the first half, especially for one Yogi Ferrell, but he was very good in the second half.
And
Thomas
Indiana.
Bryant was very good in the paint, as the one thing that the Cornhuskers do not have is a lot of size inside. So if you want a game ever to get Thomas Bryant going once again down the stretch, this would sure seem like the game to get him going inside and let him make some hay.
It would be, no doubt about it. Indiana trailed at halftime in that game in Nebraska, but here's what the Hoosiers did. And and again, we've seen this multiple times in road victories. They shot 5 of 9 in the second half from the three-point line, and that's going to help you move out. Yogi had 15 of his game-high 24 in the second half, carried the freight. Indiana put on a big run with some of those threes, busted a tight game open, ended up leading, I think it was like 66-52, 63-51, something like that, in around the 10-minute mark, and that was it, because Nebraska at the time just was trying to figure out guys. They had a deeper bench. They had rotations that were going on, but they've tightened up the ship. There is no Shields, but there hasn't been Shields for a couple games, so this will not be Nebraska's first thing. He took a really nasty spill and had to be sent to a hospital. It didn't look very fun on television or the replay, but he is okay. But he's not made the trip. He's not into basketball stuff. He's just doing some shooting drills. So you wipe out Shields, and that shouldn't matter, because again, Indiana has to worry about what Indiana does. And Nebraska does have some height inside. They got a 6'9 kid, a 6'10 kid who's been playing a little bit more. But Bryant did go to work. And we always talk about Bryant not being able to pass himself the basketball. So is that going to be Indiana's focus tonight? I don't think it needs to be, Dave, because when Indiana gets pigeonholed into one thing, either shooting threes, either going fast, either going to the post, it doesn't work the way we just think as fans it should work. It's when Indiana constantly moves and attacks from every single corner and every single transition, half court, moving, dribbling, penetration, cutting. When it all balances out, what's that old saying about the all tides rise, raise boat? When everybody plays well, it seems everybody gets in the action. You never have seen this team just come down the floor, beat it off the dribble, isolate Bryant in the post, throw it into him, and stand there and watch. It doesn't happen that way. Right. What happens is when movement happens and cutting happens, and then people have to react, and do they leave Bryant? Do they stay with Bryant? Then he gets some dunks. He gets some putbacks. He gets things like that. So when it moves, Bryant should be involved. Hartman should be involved. Williams should be involved. Johnson should be stepping into jump shots. Zeislav should be coming off the bench. All that stuff happens, and that just moves everybody up together. It's tough when it's Yogi, 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 yeah. Yogi, Yogi, Yogi.
And it was a lot at Nebraska.
It was, because I don't think the trust factor was there yet. That's right. I think Indiana had played some opponents. Rutgers was their first road game, so this was not their first game on the road.
There was some foul trouble. Yeah, and again, at the time, those are the first two games of the season in the Big Ten. It was at Rutgers, at Nebraska. This is also about the time we started to discover what OG Anunoby could do, and people are trying to make these huge proclamations about this kid
right
now.
Let him grow up.
Let him be what he is right now, because he's doing it really pretty darn well. And he had 11 points in this game, 3 rebounds, a couple steals. You started to see what he could give you in this game, and more importantly, I think you started to see what the bench in general could do for you, because you got Max Bielfeld the game before that carried the freight for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, because Bryant was in foul trouble.
He and Zeislav combined for 39 points in this game, and you started to see a trend here, and that is you've got a couple guys that you can really lean some minutes on, and maybe you're not going to get 30 points out of them on a given night, but you started to see that bench come together in a way that's allowed them to be able to pull a Troy out if he starts to have a struggling time, or a Robert Johnson out, or even a Thomas Bryant if he's missing for foul trouble or something like that. You started to see a deeper bench out of this team right around then.
The interesting part about the attack from Nebraska, I believe they're the second best shooting team in the league. They're shooting around 49% from twos. So Nebraska, again, we always think that they're offensively challenged. The white kid went for 35 or 36 against Penn State the other night. Hit a ton of shots. I mean, he can score the basketball. So it's a Nebraska team, Dave. If they're going to move the ball and don't have that one guy that Indiana stands and worries about, Indiana's going to have to play better defense. They're going to have to keep guys out of the paint. They're going to have to keep guys off the foul line. And again, all of this has to happen together. And the only one bailout Indiana really gets is if they just rocket threes. And that's possible. There's no doubt about it.
You mentioned the Andrew White. Glenn Watson Jr. is a freshman. He just won Freshman of the Week. This is an interesting matchup, because while the Hoosiers should have an advantage down low with Thomas Bryant and hopefully the rest of the big men down there, the Hoosiers should not be that outmatched against a Nebraska backcourt.
They shouldn't be outmatched anywhere against anybody.
Exactly. And that's what's interesting about this, is that's where Nebraska is going to be strong tonight. They're going to be strong in the backcourt. Not a lot of experience necessarily at this level, but that's the interesting part of the matchup here, is you've got two pretty strong backcourts.
And the other part is they handled a Penn State team that Indiana really struggled with. I know Penn State was playing at home, but on the weekend, their two frontcourt kids, Jacobson and Hammonds, got 19 and 9 combined, 4 assists. Well, they're playing more. They're getting some production from some areas they haven't. And again, when you've got guys like Indiana has, the talent they have, the way they've mopped up some teams at home, you would think everything should fall into place, but you got to go play the game. And this is the time of year. You can't be tired. You can't be sick. You can't be any of this other stuff. It's this one in Maryland, right? That's it. There are no more home games, right?
In Purdue.
This weekend. Yeah. This week in Maryland. That's
right,
it.
That's correct.
And five more
games. They got to go on the road next week.
To Illinois and Iowa. Both of those, I believe, are 9 o'clock games. Gee, thanks. So we go 8:30, 8:30, 9, 9, and then 4:30. All right. So these are games you have to.
You need an afternoon
you
show.
You have to look at it. It's hard enough to win on the road. We know that in the Big Ten. Somehow Nebraska found Michigan State on a day they were overlooking Nebraska.
Well, and Siobhan Shields went nuts in that game, too.
He did.
And that's the one thing they won't have tonight.
And that's possible for the white kid. Anybody gets 35 in a Big Ten game, I don't care you're doing, you can flat out score.
11 of 17, 6 of 10 on threes.
He's a 6'6 type dude. He's not a 6'1.
6'7, 220.
See, he's like Shields.
He was a Kansas recruit.
He's like Shields in that height in weight class where he's a big fella. He's not a 6-foot water bug who's just going to come down, beat you down the floor, pull up, and knock down threes.
Well, here's the thing. He's 6 of 10 in threes against Penn State, 7 of 7 from the free throw line also.
That's efficient as you
four
get,
four rebounds.
It?
Okay, maybe not huge on the boards. But, again, if you're shooting the three and you're getting to the free throw line, you're doing a lot. You're diverse in your game, and you're putting pressure on the defense. And couple that with another guard also that can do the same thing in Watson.
Yep, and Watson's a freshman of the week in the Big Ten. Why? Because he had a good week. Played well. He's averaging over 10 a game in conference play, so he's grown up quickly. And maybe a guy that he was a little quiet against Indiana. I think he was 3-13 in that first game, so he's better. Every game you play in the Big Ten, if Minnesota's going to give you problems, if you can go through it, that shouldn't be the name on the shirt shouldn't bother you. The tape should tell you what you need to know. And remember, they have to stop you. And your key is not making it easy for them. When the three-point shot wasn't going in against Minnesota, Indiana struggled.
Mm-hmm.
When the three-point shot wasn't going in against Penn State, Indiana struggled. When the three-point shot wasn't going in against Michigan, 5 of 21 in the second half, they struggled. Are they going to struggle again because of that? It's kind of mixed messages, because if you listen to Coach Crean's press conferences or his radio program, he talks about wanting them to shoot more, and they got to shoot more, and Nick's got to shoot more. He said in his press conference, I don't have to tell Max he's got to shoot more. You tell him once and he does it. But when you tell a three-point shooter to shoot and it's not going in,
what point
do you put the handbrake on and say, hey, wait a second? Because when it doesn't go in and you don't get an offensive rebound, that's not...
Well, we don't have the one guy you knew was going to shoot it, no matter whether he'd be making it or not.
And he was making 47% of them, which is...
Well, we saw last year, though. He had some games where he's 0 for 9, too. But no, you're exactly right. He was the one guy who would continue to shoot.
And that's where I think that balance is important. When it's not being keyed that Zeislos has to make them, where everybody else is getting looks, it's a lot easier to pull that trigger and shoot it. And when Indiana gets in that flow, and when they get guys moving, and when they get rebounds, and only one team's out rebounded Indiana, right? Michigan State, was that it?
I think so.
Again, when you have the ball more than they do, you have more chances to score, you have more chances to put pressure on them, and that's what this Hoosier team needs to do. They need to make the game uncomfortable for Nebraska. They need to not let the white kid get 35 and bail them out of situations.
Right.
You saw some good team defense against Michigan. I'm not sure you did against Minnesota. I'm not sure who they shut down. The Taylor kid at 24, 6 or 8 over his average at Penn State. He did a nice job against Iowa collectively.
Yeah.
But, again, I don't need one guy to have the defensive game of his life. I need Indiana to have a really solid principle.
Just make it hard.
Make a principle game.
Make it hard.
Denzel Valentine beat the first guy. He's in the lane, and it's layup or dunk or a kick for an open three. Just keep a guy from getting in the lane. Force guys wide. All those principles that they've been taught throughout the time and space and all the things they learned watching film, and do it. Because that's all you can do. The coaches can only tell them, Dave, put them in the situations to do it. The players have to execute.
Got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll talk about IU Purdue when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, high school basketball Friday night here on WGCL. Perry Meridian comes to town to face Bloomington South. It is South senior night. They have a chance not only to share the conference title, but win it outright with a little bit of help. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and tip-off is 7:30 on Friday night right here on WGCL. Taking your phone calls, 333-2665. Talking IU basketball, they tip-off against Nebraska at 8:30 tonight at the Assembly Hall. And then Saturday night at 8:30 on, I believe it's ESPN. It is ESPN. Against Purdue, the Boilermakers. So our one game this year against the Boilermakers.
Boo!
This Saturday night.
Terrible. How do you only play Purdue once?
I don't like it either.
It doesn't make sense. No. Protect the rivalries and then shuffle the other games. I mean, it's the remember, if the fans don't show up and buy TV packages, none of this matters. Give them a little something that they want, please.
The Boilers, big, very big. Yeah, so it's going to present a huge challenge for Thomas Bryant and Max Bielfeld inside. But they're also a team that's done a couple different things, and that is, at home at least, they have held big leads and lost big leads. And also, they don't necessarily score a lot of points. They went to Michigan right after Michigan State and Indiana both just blew the doors off the Wolverines at Chrysler Arena. They went to Michigan and lost 61-56.
You know why they lost, don't you? First time all year they'd been out-rebounded, period, end of sentence.
And that's Michigan, who does not rebound.
When your rebounding advantage is almost 10 a game or whatever, yeah. Purdue's rebounding margin is ridiculous.
It's really good.
And, again, the end of that game didn't show a lot of composure for me, and I don't follow Purdue basketball as much as I need to, but it's a three-point, it's a one-point game and a three-point game when in the last, I don't know, 75 seconds, AJ Hammons doesn't touch the ball one time.
Yeah.
That's not very smart. I don't care how you think Matt Painter does or whatever it is. But, again, nobody plays 18 games in the conference perfectly. Nobody plays road games perfectly. If you do, boy, you can get rewarded, but it takes that perfect checklist to do it. And when Purdue didn't do what they do best at Michigan, Dave, it happens. It wasn't a high-scoring game. You think Michigan wants to win games in the 70s and the 80s. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. They found enough possessions. They ground out enough things to do. Purdue was up 6 or 8 with 2.5 minutes to go and lost this lead because they didn't make very good decisions, and Michigan got after them and got hot for a minute because the final score is 60-something, 50-something, right?
61-56.
Yeah, well, that's an under 12 timeout usually, yeah, in a Michigan game. So it was interesting to see Michigan beat Purdue at a style that they dream about on the road. And then you see Purdue and Michigan State the other night in 80-something in overtime.
Yeah, and Zach Irvin went for 22, four of eight on shooting.
Yeah, but he shot 19 times again.
He was 8-19 to do it. But
he hit them all when they counted down the stretch.
Purdue, on the other hand, shot 40%, and as you mentioned, got out-rebounded 39-35. Purdue holds in Big Ten games alone. Purdue holds a rebounding margin, tops in the Big Ten of 10.5 a game. Indiana holds a margin of +8 a game. So one thing that's underrated about the Hoosiers, at least in Big Ten play, has been their ability to hit the boards, and we know what that does for them on the offensive end, gives them extra shots, and on the defensive end gives them the ability to go out on their break, which they like to do.
They do, and Purdue rallied and turned the boat around. Why? They played at home last night beating Northwestern. I can't remember. The final was 10, I believe, 70-something, 60-something in there. And
71-61.
And I think they out-rebounded Northwestern by about 25 rebounds last night. It was a destruction. It was an effort thing. Rebounding is effort. Matt Painter wasn't happy with the effort at Michigan, so what did Purdue do last night?
Got it.
Went out and mopped the glass. What was it, 56-22, something like
45
that?
45-24 on the boards.
Plus 21, guys.
Yeah, 61-71 overall.
But Hammons, another double-double. That's his 8th on the season. You know what you're getting with Hammons. The one thing that gives people problems with Hammons is he can shoot it from 18 feet, and he's really good around the basket.
Yep.
He doesn't get his shot blocked. He's got tremendously long arms. You saw last year, I don't even want to relive this, but Indiana gets smashed at Mackey last year.
Yeah.
They come back here. Indiana has one lead in the last 14 minutes of that game.
Yep.
One. It was Yogi Ferrell's top of the key three-pointer with 18 or 22 seconds left. What it was, Raphael Davis goes down and scores. Fumble, turnover, whatever, free throws, it's over with. Mm-hmm. But Hammons in that game had like 24, 13, 8 blocks. It was
The blocks were what were crazy.
Ridiculous.
And when you talk about the size, I mean, again, the Hoosiers have done pretty well on the boards themselves.
Yeah.
They go after the boards pretty decently. The question is, I mean, really becomes, how do you handle the shot blockers in there? Because you got three of them that can do it. I mean,
and
it's not Swanigan's top skill, but he can do it.
Wave after wave. Haas has not exploded. Why? Because Hammons is playing so well. Hammons Simmons had been flighty his last year and a half, last 2 years.
Haas was starting a good portion of last year because
Hammonds couldn't figure it out. But now that Hammonds figured it out, Haas isn't getting a ton of minutes. Swanigan is getting a ton of minutes for a freshman, and he's got an NBA body already. He's huge. He's 265 or whatever.
6'9", 260 they list him.
He's got good bounce. Once he quit shooting threes, Purdue got a little bit better offensively. Yeah. But he can take you out and shoot that. But when you have that clogging of the lane, the interesting chess match in that game is going to be who drags Hammonds away from the basket. Who is Swanigan going to guard? He's probably going to have to guard Hartman, I would think, or Bielefeld. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be – then you take one of your better offensive rebounders away from the goal as well. So you're going to have to give something to get something.
Well, let's start with that question right there because
– Where do you go with that?
Up at Michigan State, you saw a different situation. You saw them move Hartman out of the roster and put Max Bielefeld in.
Yes.
You know, there's no reason you can't consider that again. And I suggested the other day even – I don't think it'll happen, but maybe you take Troy Williams out of the starting roster and put Colin Hartman at the three with Bielefeld and Bryant up front.
And you just and you throw an OG there and Juwan Morgan, and you got 20 fouls. You got all kinds of things to do. Yeah. And again, when you're at home, you should make life uncomfortable for your opponents. And I think, again, that's where Indiana really excels. You don't see many knockdown, dragout fights here or with this team where you think, hey, it's going to work out. You're holding your breath against Minnesota. You're wondering what's going on at Penn State. Even the Wisconsin game, that's not a style that Indiana likes to play. And when the ball's not going in the basket, the Hoosiers have to find other ways to do so. You don't get a lot of easy baskets with Purdue for two reasons. Why? All that height and width in the lane, clogging things up. So driving to the basket. Remember Yogi, time after time last year, was determined just to get to the basket, get to James Blackman Jr., was determined that we're going
to
get there.
Got to get to
you're trying to get the guys in foul problems, but there's different ways of doing that. You lose that, and you lose the offensive rebound. The tips, the right at the rim, the spring. Why? Well, because they got bodies and long arms too. That's big-time basketball that they play. But Purdue has a problem scoring. Why do they have a problem scoring? Well, they got about a kid and a half that can really shoot it. The Klein kid, the freshman, can really shoot it. The Mathias kid can kind of shoot it. He hit a couple big ones last year. But the backcourt of the Thompson and the Hill kid, those aren't guys that are going to line you up. Rafael Davis isn't going to line you up and start knocking down three. So Purdue runs their stuff. They are Wisconsin-ish in that, where they just keep moving and moving and wait for the breakdown and try to find the easiest shot, not the first open shot. So that helps them control their pace. That helps them control the tempo. And I'm guessing that's what Nebraska's going to do tonight as well. It's not going to be – why would you want to get in a track meet with Indiana here?
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. If you watch this on film, it's a drive-by. Indiana will blow you out of the water if you want to run with them.
Yeah, if you want to try to speed them up, that's where you're getting. And with Purdue on the weekend, again, as you mentioned, you know, maybe this is the game you go with the three-point shooters, you know, more so than trying to match up inside.
You open up some things.
I mean, you're exactly right about one thing. I mean, the Hoosiers' defense is as likely as anyone to let you have a better offensive game than you're going to against other teams. But at the same time, if you're already up 15 on them, Purdue's not the type of team that's going to rain threes on you in the second half and get back into the game.
They're not. And you saw Purdue build that big lead against Michigan State last Tuesday. Why? Well, Rafael Davis hits 5 first-half three-pointers. Point out the other time he's hit 5 three-pointers in a game, let alone in the first half. So they're trying to, but what Purdue does, two things very similar to Wisconsin. They move the basketball ad nauseum until they find a good shot. So you have to guard for 28 and a half seconds. That's how it's going to be. You have to have that mindset, as Tom talks about going into it. You know you have to pay attention the entire possession. Mm-hmm. Bad shots don't go up. You think, well, I'm late on this guy. I'm just going to let – he's going to shoot. I'll just leak out. No, they're going to move it 3 more times after that. Right. And the other part is – on defense, they switch everything. They have no problem running into screens. They have no problem guarding pick and roll. They got Davis is long. Everybody's long on that team except the Thompson kid, but that's the water bug Yogi matchup. So that's a nuisance style that I don't think Indiana cares to play.
No, they don't.
Too much of. So how do you get teams uncomfortable, Dave? You're right. You take it to them. You make good shots. You get them out of their comfort zone. You get the crowd behind you. It's going to be 8:30 on a Saturday night. It's going to be a raucous event, and you got to play smart.
Let's deal – 333-2665 is a phone number. Let's deal with the X factor for the Hoosiers here. Troy Williams has been all over the map this year. When he's good, Indiana's very good. When he's not, it's a dogfight, and it's been a lot of dogfights. Is this a game, Purdue in particular, is this a better game for Troy Williams to get back on track or not? Seems to me – knockout drag out is not what you're looking for if you're Troy Williams.
I don't think Troy likes games where his office is clogged up. That's the baseline. Mm-hmm. And when Hammonds doesn't, if Thomas Bryant's going to step out and hit 18 footers all day, yeah, they'll have to send somebody out to guard him. But until that happens,
right.
If Bielefeld wants to do it, he's shown a penchant for very hot and very cold. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot in between that. But when Troy's office is taken away from him, and the good coaches find a way to slow that down.
Yeah.
Ask Tom Izzo. He's held Troy Williams at 0 points in 40 minutes in two games the last 2 years. How do you get him out of it? Well, you clog his area. You rebound well, like Michigan State did, so Indiana doesn't get transition opportunities, mm-hmm. and you put a body on them. What kids don't like to do, a lot of them this day and age, they don't like to block out. And if you don't block out, right. Troy, he jumps over you and does anything he wants, right? But when you put a body into him, mm-hmm. not the strongest guy, the biggest
guy. We've seen it when he goes to the basket.
Fight a lot.
I mean, you say go to the basket, you say go to the lane, and he does that, but then he goes sideways.
Troy,
and he's trying to throw up, finger rolls as opposed to going hard to the basket.
Troy enjoys open spaces.
Yes,
and he exploits them very, very well. And those are things that teams will take away to slow them down. Purdue doesn't have to double in the post. That's another huge factor for them, and a factor for
Indiana. Costello did a great job on Bryant, and these guys are going to maybe even be better.
And again, a senior in Hammonds, a senior in Costello. You can go down the guys that have given Indiana maybe some problems because they don't have to run double teams at Bryant. They're more than happy to let Hammonds play him straight up, which means nobody has to come for help. That means, Indiana, Dave, they can't stand and watch. When the ball goes into the post, if no one's coming off shooters, if you're going to stand and watch Bryant, makes it really easy to guard and really hard to rebound. If you get guys cutting through the lane, Troy has to move even though it's clogged.
Sure.
You're going to have to still move to get heads turning, to get people turning the wrong way, people out of position. That's what Purdue's trying to do to you offensively. That's what Wisconsin did to you offensively. Mm-hmm. The constant movement has to do it because that's the way. Standing, you're easy to guard. Standing, you're easy to block out. Standing makes defense really easy, and that's why they harp on the ball moving, and you have to harp on players moving.
Yep, we got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number, and we will talk about what we think the Hoosiers are going to look like after the end of this week when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Final time of the night. Programming note for Friday night, high school basketball. The end of the regular season, South celebrates senior night and has a chance at not only a share of the Conference Indiana title, but maybe even an outright title with a little bit of help. But they got to beat Perry Meridian first, and we'll have it for you here on Friday night. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, tip-off, 7:30 for that. We will, of course, be back Monday, 6 o'clock, to talk about a big week from the Hoosiers, as they've got tonight against Nebraska at Assembly Hall and Saturday night against Purdue at Assembly Hall. And Glass, as we know, in the Big Ten, at 10-3, if you want to win a Big Ten championship with Iowa, a game already ahead of you still, you got a chance at their place next week. You got to win at home. You absolutely cannot lose the home games, and they're critical at this point when you're talking about Purdue and Maryland, two of the teams that are in the chase that you're trying to get here to. And not only can you not afford a loss, but you got a chance to get one up on the guys that are around you.
You have to win your home games. You're exactly right. And I don't know where else you're going to pick up wins if you don't grab this one. And that's tough. I mean, you're asking, you have to win at Iowa. That's where you'd switch this one out. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. 12-point favorites tonight, so everybody should be comfortable. That's the good news. There are nothing fishy happening on that side of things. But Indiana, Dave, has to prove to themselves they can finish strong. This hasn't been a team the last two seasons that has kicked down the door in February and came in with guns blazing. It's been a team that last year, in resume-building games, couldn't handle Iowa at home, couldn't handle Purdue at home, mm-hmm. couldn't beat Michigan State without Braden Dawson, who sat on the bench for 40 minutes and didn't play 1 second.
Yep.
Those were opportunities. What did they learn from it? That'll be the interesting part of it. They've been through that before. Now, I'm not throwing Nebraska in the Purdue, Iowa, Michigan State realm. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Tonight needs to be a win. It's the game with Purdue. Purdue's beaten them twice in a row, minimum. They swept them last year. I'm not going back any farther than that. But when Indiana was 17-15 the year before that, I'm guessing that they didn't beat Purdue twice. That would be that's off the top of my head here. That I would suggest that. So it's your biggest rival. Your season, you could possibly be tied for first place at that time. You don't know that. Iowa's playing Penn State right now, 14-12, getting going. If you can't get up to beat your rival at home, you can't talk about Big Ten championships. Not for me.
Yeah.
Because there are other hurdles you have to go to. You still have to go to Iowa, and Maryland's still coming to town.
And let's be fair, you know, during the course of this season...
And bad matchups don't count anymore, Dave. Well, I can't say that.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, good.
They have had some weird matchups this year frankly, they've performed in ways that I think that surprise people in a good way. You know, and I don't want to make too much about Rutgers and Nebraska on the road, but those were games where they did something we didn't expect they'd do, in that they were tougher than we thought. They had things that didn't go right for them.
Some of that was self-inflicted.
It was, but you got to get out of it. You do. A team, good teams even are going to do that to themselves, and they got to figure out a way out of it. They managed to do that. Against Purdue, you still don't have the matchup advantage. You don't. They're the big team. They're the big physical team. They want to slow you down. They want to bang you around. That's not what Indiana wants to do still. But they've had a little bit more success with that this year. They need to show, and again, I think if anybody expects them to go anywhere in the postseason, be it the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to show they can handle a team like Purdue, because when you get into the NCAA tournament, you don't have any choice. You don't get to pick and choose.
They're all winning teams.
Yeah, you don't have another game you can make that up on. No. You've got to handle it. You've got to deal with the fact that there's that team that's going to look bad to you on paper, and you still have to go in there if you want to win that game. And so Purdue, to me, this week tells a lot for people, because at this stage in the last couple of years, they've lost a game to Nebraska that they shouldn't lose at home.
They're
whether it's Nebraska
three.
Or not. Last year was Northwestern, yes, among other teams. And you mentioned the other couple good teams, but Northwestern was a team that they shouldn't have lost to.
And that game was in the 50s as well.
Exactly. And then you turn around and you go against a team that you don't match up well, but it's your home game. It's a team that's your rival. You've got to show up to that game too. So is it as big as beating Iowa and Maryland?
Yes, absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, on paper you say I'd rather beat those teams, but this to me tells you a lot about this team right now, because these are failures that they've had the last couple years.
And we've heard youth. We've heard thin at certain positions. That goes out the window. Now, how many games have they played? 25, 26?
26.
20, what are they, 20 and 5?
20 and 6 right now.
20 and 6. That's plenty of games. Everybody's feet are wet. No one is getting into deeper new experiences on that. And with the senior point guard, Yogi Ferrell, that helps because he makes all his foul shots late. It helps because he's played every minute of every game since he's been a freshman. He's been in every war. He's been in every battle. He's in premium physical condition. He's smart. He knows how to get fouled, and he makes every foul shot. That's a huge advantage for this team. But as we saw in some late-game situations earlier in the year, which Indiana looked to rectify, Dave, than they have, the ball has to be in his hands. But the ball can't be in his hands the first 12 minutes leading into the last 2 minutes. You can't do that. Because Indiana struggles when they don't have extra help. And this is the time, Dave. Conference championships, NCAA seeding, the lights are going to get brighter. They're going to shine a little bit longer. And you're going to see who has no problem taking shots, who has no problem making the right decisions, and Yogi needs help. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a whole lot of help last year, and he didn't have any help 17-15. We know about that. Sad that I have to throw it all on his shoulders, but when he handled the ball that much, that's the guy that, hey, when there's 4 seconds left on the shot clock, they don't throw it to Bryant in the corner.
That's right.
They throw it to Yogi 35 feet away from the basket and hope something gets going.
Show it to Bracey, right.
Those are the things that average teams do. Good teams get players involved. Good teams don't need Purdue on the shirt to be motivated to play hard and run back on defense.
Yeah.
It's not asking anything out of the ordinary. It starts tonight. It's at home. The effort should be there. If the effort's not there against Purdue, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. That's not a sign of things going well, but you have to play them all. And it's cliche and it's everything else. But you're right, Dave. If you take the night off at Illinois and lose in Shambana, it's no different than anything else, because there aren't any games, like you said, to make it up.
No,
everybody's on this finite 4 or 5 games
left.
Look,
they played an easy schedule. We've talked about that. But
this is the time to prove that schedule was in your favor.
Well, and the point is there. They took advantage of the majority of that and are within a game of the Big Ten championship. Going down the stretch, are they going to take advantage of that? They put themselves in this position now, so they've got that chance. They have that ability.
They can't say. You're right. None of that stuff can come into play now. It can't be about, well, this schedule's tough. Every game in the Big Ten is tough. That's what it is. And conference championships aren't easy to win unless, I guess, you play at Kansas where they win 11 in a row, which is unbelievably ridiculous. Yes. There's more to play. There's more to do. But I think it starts with and it ends with what this team does. And, again, you know the white kid had 35 the other night. You got to know where he is in transition. You got to know where he is in the half court. That's not, again, is that asking anything ridiculous?
No.
No, you got to find him. But you knew Jordan Taylor or whatever the Taylor kid's name is. I keep getting this Wisconsin kid. You knew at Penn State he was their best player, and they struggled to contain him. What is keeping them from that next step? The home court, we know what can happen. You'll have two really athletic guards, the Illinois kids, perimeter players that are going to give you some problems over there. You already know what Iowa has. Iowa's loaded just like Indiana's loaded, and you know Maryland's loaded. You think Maryland's got in the back of their mind they got whitewashed here last year on national TV by about 100 three-pointers in about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So
and
all
oh, by the way,
stuff,
that's a
isn't
big
it exciting, though? We're not talking about 6-10 and 10 if we're going to get in the tournament. We're talking about
championships. That's a really big game for Maryland on the road wanting to win a Big Ten championship also.
Yes, it is. And don't forget, Hoosier fans, Indiana had to go on the road to win a Big Ten championship at Michigan a few years back. But this is what it's about. Is your heart beating fast? You're sweating a little bit? You're getting nervous about Nebraska? Why? Because you have a chance to do some cool stuff that happens not as often as we'd like around here, but they're in position. And these opportunities, Dave, are opportunities that good teams will take and at least be in the fight. If somebody beats you, you're never going to hear me complain. When people constantly beat you up and down the court, when people beat you to the basket, I got issues with that.
By Monday, when we're back on the air, are the Hoosiers 12-3?
Whatever their record is, at two wins, it's two and it's a 2-0 weekend because you don't get in big boy conversations if you don't win big boy basketball games at home. And there's nobody bigger, meaner than Purdue. Wisconsin's tough. They ain't mean like Purdue. They're not senior driven like the Boilermakers are.
I think the Hoosiers get it done this time around. I don't know how they do it because they keep doing it in different ways because they don't have the consistency.
They're the chameleon, Dave, and that's fine.
But they are 10-3, so we'll see how they do it by the time we get back
the
with
formula
you on Monday night. Remember, high school basketball Friday night, Perry Meridian at South for senior night and a chance for the conference title for the Panthers. So tune in for that starting at 7 o'clock on Friday, and we will join you again Monday, 6 o'clock. You've been in the zone.